Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We got another edition of Democratic Perspective. Mike Cosentino here, and Gary LeMaster over there. Never ever silent anymore. We've destroyed that myth. We have a good show this morning. We got a special show this morning. We have two guests in the studio. We have a full studio. What happens to us a lot, and usually it's people with guns wanting to shut us up. But now this morning we have two
give people
no
ideas.
No one told me there'd be guns.
don't give people ideas.
And you have the voice of Julie Myers. She's with an organization called Arizona for Clean Arizonans. For clean and accountable elections.
And the Arizona Advocacy Network.
The Arizona Advocacy Network, of which I am friends with on Facebook, and I recommend you, too. They have a lot of great information, which I share a lot. I'm one of those guys that lost a lot of friends from my incessant political postings, but don't care very much. So the Arizona Advocacy Network. Julie Myers is here. She's going to talk about Arizonans for Clean and Accountable Elections. But we also have Ken Clark. Ken, are you here?
I'm here.
He is here.
Taking my time.
He has a voice and everything.
He's a member of the Arizona Legislature.
He's one of those.
One of the few certifiably sane ones.
Yes, your crazy legislature, notwithstanding, we have Ken Clark, a representative in the House of District 4, District 24, excuse me. Which is someplace down in Phoenix, which means, you know, it doesn't exist. It's the state of Maricopa, the place where there's, I don't know, 2-some-odd million voters, registered voters, and what, 500,000 voted in the most recent election, which is kind of a statewide story, but also a story for another day. He wants to talk about his organization, Stop Corruption Now.
Yep.
And
Stop Corruption AZ.
Well, Stop Corruption Now AZ is the website.
That is the website. Yeah. That is the website. So, starting to sense a theme here for this morning's Democratic perspective. We have some issues in Arizona, and certainly you've heard me. You know, our engineer here is a voice on the finger on the volume button often works overtime when my voice starts rising as some of the issues we've talked about in the last few years on the show in Arizona. I'm going to say something. Arizona is openly corrupt, and it's funny. They don't even try to hide it anymore.
According to one study on the web, Arizona was named the most politically corrupt state in the union.
Well, it's good to be number one in something.
What do we get for that?
Yeah, right.
Is there an award?
We get bad government. That's what we get.
Right. You get that. Okay. Julie, hit it. Introduce yourself. Tell us more about yourself. In other words, I've only covered the basics, and tell us who you are and what you're doing here.
Well, as you said, my name is Julie Myers. I'm the Development Director and Voting Rights Program Manager with Arizona Advocacy Network. Arizona Advocacy Network has been around for about 15 years and focuses on helping to strengthen clean elections. It works to increase voter protection and fight voter suppression, which if you've even had a glance at any news outlets here in Arizona over the past few months, you know, is alive and well. And we also work to strengthen fair courts. And so we're very busy between the screw-ups with elections administration, changing people's registration, and now last night with the governor signing the bill that lets him stack the court.
It is really, really comforting, I want to say up front, to know that there is an organization like yours. I think one of the things the other side counts on is just giving up, the ennui or whatever you want to call it. Certainly down at the coffee shop in Cottonwood, which, I spend a lot of time with, people of, various, political stripes, just are tired, or the onslaught of you know, education, court issues, mass incarceration. I mean, the issues are just overwhelming. So it's good to know that there's an organization like yours doing something anyway.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And what I'm here to talk about now is the Arizona Clean and Accountable Elections Act, which is a ballot initiative that we filed last month. And we're in the process of collecting the required amount of signatures to get it on the ballot in November. And this is an ethics reform, dark money fighting, clean election strengthening initiative.
And if people want to participate...
If people want to participate up here, they can contact the Democrats at the Red Rocks, because I've left a pile of petitions with Mike and everybody there. Mm-hmm. And they can go to cleanandaccountable.com to sign up to volunteer.
All right. Very good. Yes. Democrats at Red Rocks have opened their office. We have a Democratic office right here in Sedona. In West Sedona. Do you have the address?
No, I don't. No,
okay. It's the one that has...
I go by landmarks, I'm
that's
sorry.
Right. That's right. Find the door office, and please, 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 please get involved. The and the petition states, what are they actually...
The big points, the main points that this initiative will cover is to reduce the influence of the wealthy special interests that have come in here and decided they want to buy the legislative and gubernatorial process in Arizona. Rather than work and follow the rules to try and get their proposals carried, it seems to be much easier to throw large piles of money at legislators, at the governor's office, anywhere they can to get done what they want done, which is basically to affect into law a very narrow set of principles that allows them to make even more money.
Okay, Julie, hold on to your other points. Ken, I want to get you in here, and because you're the dark money guy. I want to put it that way.
The voice in the wilderness.
Voice in the wilderness. Yes, please tell us what's going on with Ken Clark.
Okay, so background again, I'm a state representative from District 24, which is downtown Phoenix. The land where we generate lots and lots of art and coffee shops and hipsters that we export to the rest of the state.
My son owns a beer and wine store on the corner of 5th Street and Roosevelt.
Oh, really?
Flowers. Yeah, he's in...
I love that place.
Oh, right.
No, it's a great place. We should. Well, I'd like to talk later. I'm a big fan of being able to take a growler into a little shop and fill it up.
There you go. Please go see it.
I named a beer...
Oh,
you know, I put together a market downtown every Christmas called the Festivus Market.
Yes,
So it's loosely based on the Seinfeld joke. But we named Phoenix Ale Brewery brews a beer for us called Festivus Ale, and we've got it all over the state now, which has nothing to do with dark meat.
Nothing to do with why we're here.
I got to pat myself on the back for something.
Although that is one solution to dark money, is just to go hide in the corner somewhere
and drink
some beer.
I've tried.
But the Lost Leaf and Joe Bot, we give them all a promo up here, which absolutely nobody will. But you'll
I love Lost Leaf. It's a good place.
Me too.
Joe Bot's got good food.
Yeah.
Back to dark money.
Yeah, back to
dark money.
Keep us focused. All right, so I have been working on dark money issues for a while now, running bills, but this bill came along this year, Senate Bill 1516, which, regardless of where you are on the political spectrum, you should be very concerned about it. What it does is it several things. Most importantly, number one, it abdicates the state's responsibility to oversee any dark money groups. So specifically, that means 501c4 nonprofit organizations that claim to be charitable organizations, but which are actually organized to participate in elections. So
right.
If you think the dark money thing is just a lefty pinko issue,
right,
it's not, because even Justice Scalia, that paragon of left thinking,
the guy who died taking a bribe,
yeah, right. He you know, under the Citizens United ruling of 2010, which allowed unlimited contributions from corporations, he said, we assume you're going to require disclosure of this, and indeed you should, because if you want to participate in a public debate in America, it stands to reason that people should know who you are.
Wow.
So, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, and I don't do a very good Justice Scalia, so I
sorry.
Do it my way. So, that's the one thing. The bill abdicates the state's responsibility to oversee that. In short, it does so by just saying, hey, look, if you're registered with the IRS, who cares? You're good to go.
I think that's huge. You said, I mean, you just came from the Democrats at Red Rocks Breakfast where you guys both spoke. But that this has 80% of Republican support. We're sitting here on Democratic Perspective radio show, but we are talking about an issue that is as close to bipartisan as anything I've heard of in the state for a long, long time. Nobody likes dark money. Nobody likes elections that are bought. Nobody believes in the subversion of the system except the people who are subverting it.
That's right. And I want to add, if I could, that we do have support on the right. One of my co-conspirators here, in our effort under StopCorruptionNowAZ.com is none other than the former chief of staff under Jan Brewer, so Chuck Coughlin,
right.
Who many on the left regard as a pariah because he engineered the Senate Bill 1070 thing. So, you know, he and I avoid conversations about that, but we do very much agree about this. Because, listen, if it's not the Koch brothers, it could be George Soros who's hiding money. It could be unions that are hiding money. And even though I support unions, I don't support them hiding money.
Right.
Nor do I support anyone on the right or the left. I think our democracy depends on people being able to stand up and let it be known who they are.
We saw in the last election, statewide election, that dark money, you know, Republican dark money, which, let's be honest, they have a lot more of it, it's used to attack the right as well as the left. It's not only used to defeat Democratic candidates during the general election, it's used to primary, you know, candidates that are considered rhinos or not, you know, are not towing the line on the right. So it's really bipartisan in that regard, in that it really affects every aspect of our election.
Well, this is mafia tactics, what we're hearing from the Republican Party in the Arizona legislature. In other words, as you just alluded to, that if you don't vote our way, regardless of whether you agree with it or not, we will work to defeat you. We will use this dark money to defeat you in the primary. And that makes people toe the line. They're being threatened by their own party with defeat.
I would refer you to that long article, but a great read in the Arizona Republic two Sundays ago, not this Sunday, the one previous, that detailed how the governor's people threatened Jeff DeWitt, our treasurer,
right,
because he did not toe the line on Prop 123. Now, of course, they say Jeff's making it all up. He's crazy. Jeff told me about this 4 months ago.
Wow.
He told me, yeah, they're threatening me on dark money or on Prop 123. They want me to do what they want me to do. Now, it just so happens he's not running again, and that's because he just doesn't want to be part of this administration anymore.
Julie?
Arizonans have known for a long time that there's a problem with the amount of money and targeted money spent against people who want to be able to vote their conscience,
right,
rather than toe a party line that goes against some of their beliefs. It's one of the reasons why back in 1998, the voters passed the Clean Elections Act, which allowed people to run for office on money that came from the people,
right,
and not from large donors. Because let's face it, the ability to beg for money from big corporations and wealthy people should not be the primary qualification to serve in office.
I have to say, Arizona was ahead of itself, ahead of everyone there, or at least many states. We were leading. People used Arizona Clean Elections law as a model for other clean elections in other states until they gutted it in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
But it still was a seed money or a source money for rank and file citizens to run for public office in Arizona. And we do have an anecdote. I do want to kind of finish the clean elections. Is that tell us about the change to the clean elections law?
Well, as your listeners will remember, in 2010,
sure.
There were quite a few people who didn't like what clean elections
right.
did, which was allow people like moderate Republicans to say, no, the things you're trying to do are going too far, and we're not going to vote for it. And they didn't have to worry about where the money was coming from for them to come up for re-election.
Right.
Well, as soon as clean elections, the matching funds were gutted, these people had to turn around, and if they wanted to stay where they were, if they wanted to be able to do at least a little bit, they had to toe the party line because the message from party leaders was, we have access to so much money. I mean, this was right after the Citizens United decision. So it was a perfect storm of allowing intimidation against moderate Republicans.
So how do we get those matching funds back? There's something going on.
The Clean and Accountable Elections Act.
Yeah.
It would modernize the funding mechanism for clean elections, and it would allow, once a candidate has raised their $5 contributions, which under the old system, it was 250 signatures with $5 contributions,
right.
and this will take it up to 300 signatures with $5 contributions, candidates are eligible to get their seed money. And then they are allowed to collect individual contributions up to $160, which clean elections will match on a 6-to-1 basis.
Right.
And for House candidates, the matching funds limit would be $150,000. And for Senate candidates, it would be $210,000.
Very good.
So now, instead of having to rely either on dark money helping them,
right.
or worry about defending themselves from dark money attacks, this allows candidates to be competitive.
So let's make this clear. This isn't just so Democratic candidates can or independent candidates can run in state elections. This makes it possible for Republicans to vote their conscience and not be threatened by the mafia at the legislature. So I mean, it's a win-win situation. It gets clean elections back. Now, a lot of Arizonans, even though clean elections has been, you know, a part of our landscape for 15 or 20 years, are just getting used to the clean elections system. And indeed, just about the time got used to it, it got a big part of it got gutted, as we said, got taken away. So, but this will put it back. This will make clean elections once again a powerful method for truly independent legislative votes.
Can I throw something in here on
please.
Clean elections and who uses it? It is, I think, equally used by Republicans. And in fact, the chambers of commerce and whatnot like to blame the radicalism of our legislature on clean elections, saying, well, some of the craziest people would not be able to run were it not for clean elections. It's flatly false. I've been working in campaigns since clean elections was passed, and I've also been working on redistricting issues that whole time. And the fact of the matter is that the key component to getting people on the far right and the far left elected and losing a moderate middle mm-hmm. is redistricting. Because you can eliminate clean elections.
Right.
And the chambers of commerce want to do that, but it's because they want to control those candidates.
Right.
Even if clean elections were gone,
yeah.
The fact that you have such gerrymandered districts.
Yeah.
That's what brings them in. So it's a power play, and they're confusing the public about it.
Well, and that is the two things. And we talk about that kind of stuff on this show a lot. I have said before on the show, and I will say again, I wish they would just lay a grid over each state, and that would be your district.
Well, that'd be unconstitutional.
And gerrymandering would go away. That doesn't seem to bother anybody.
We actually do start with a grid. I'm happy to come up and do a show on redistricting, but our next redistricting is going to be 2021. We do start with a grid, and then you have to adjust to meet the Voting Rights Act.
I see.
So,
well, and especially in Arizona, that has such a great reputation for subverting the Voting Rights Act.
I'd like to point out, too, that if you think dark money is just an issue for presidential races, congressional races, Senate races, and legislative races,
It
has now influenced races all the way down to school boards and fire boards and things like that, where a little bit of money from the dark money interest goes a long way. So they're really, the dark money interests, these billionaires that put all of this money and hide behind the IRS laws, put all this money into races, they've really found it's more effective. Instead of spending $900 million that Koch brothers have promised to spend in this year's presidential race, they found they can spend a couple of thousand in a local race, or maybe a couple of hundred, and get their candidates, and so they have a feeder system going all the way up.
Yeah, can I flesh that out a little bit, Gary? Because imagine you've got a water district board, and we've got over 200 of them in the state. The people who are elected to that hardly spend any money at all. But let's say you have somebody who wants to start buying up water rights because they see in the future that's going to have some value. For very little, they can go in and influence that entire board. The same could happen to the school board. Some computer company wants to sell specific computers. They can, for so little, $10,000, $20,000, they can overwhelm the board. Well, that's the cost of their Christmas party, right? So,
it's literally pocket change.
It really is pocket change. And so the press has less ability to cover this because their influence has been shrinking. Fewer people are reading the newspaper. There are fewer investigative journalists out there. This should be of great concern to people on the right or the left because it can be used by anybody. It's a fundamental issue to how our democracy works.
And at the national level, they've partially defunded or cut the budget for the IRS, so the IRS cannot even check the 501c3s and 501c4s, which already have the ability to collect money from anonymous donors. So now you have no regulators able to check it out, and they put the handcuffs on the IRS as well, in addition to cutting funding. So it's a very calculated, you know, effort. From top all the way down.
Go ahead, Julie.
We've talked about how most Arizonans are against the influence of dark money.
Right.
Most, even if they know that it could benefit conservative candidates, it's a matter of fairness, and fairness is very important to Arizonans. The people who run these dark money groups know that fundamentally most people want fairness in politics. And so their long-range plan has been for the past 30 years to, and I hesitate to use this word because it sounds paranoid, but to brainwash an entire generation of scholars. And so you have people who give $5 million or worse, pressure the legislature to give $5 million to open so-called economic freedom schools.
Which just happened.
Exactly. Well, yes. And that's not the first economic freedom school in this state. So if you can train young, impressionable people about fringe economic theories, they come out, and then you end up with a team of Grover Norquists.
Yeah, can I jump in on that a little bit?
Well, that's why we are hearing from Julie Myers from the Arizona Advocacy Network. And we have Ken Clark today, state representative from District 24, who's going to tell us more about this. And we're going to get into your organization. We want to make it clear what Stop Corruption Now is all about.
Absolutely. So on the point of the what they were calling freedom schools, but I call propaganda schools. And I called them that, and their heads blew up down at the legislature because they were confronted with the fact of what these schools really are doing. The proponents of them would say, well, universities are full of, you know, lefties, and they're just pumping out left-wing kids like, you know, gingerbread cookies. But that's not true. I went to NAU, and I had plenty of professors who challenged me on the right and the left. And here you've got U of A and ASU with the Keller School of Business. We've got Thunderbird. And now what's the other one now? See, I went to NAU. These other schools don't matter to me. But Eller?
U of A.
No, Eller, U of A. Yeah, but you know, we got these are business schools. And,
yes.
And I looked through the list of schools when this debate was happening, and I didn't see a Marxism school. So there is a difference between having an environment in a university where,
yes,
where there is an exchange of ideas, and your job as the university is to allow that to happen, and students will come to their own decisions, and I'm sure 99.9% of those students believe that it is good for us to have some sort of capitalist system. The degree of, you know, socialism in that capitalist system, that's what we're always going to debate. But they believe in a free market system. What this school does, for the first time, is it says, here is one set of ideas, specifically that we want to defund public education. I suppose there are other things too, but this is one set of ideas. We're going to put state money directly into those schools. That's unprecedented.
Yeah.
Before we get deep into the weeds of dark money, I'd just like to ask Ken, tell us what it's like to be in the minority in the legislature. I'm sure that whenever there's a bill up for debate, that they give you plenty of time to make your point of view, and you're included in all of the major decisions for budgets and every other bill. Is that right?
Mike detecting sarcasm.
Yes, you are.
You know, listen, the rules allow us a certain amount of time. So they can't, it's very hard for them to take that away unless they take it away for everybody. So when it comes to the budget, we hold them there for a long time to say what we need to say.
But aren't those decisions already made?
Yeah, those decisions are made. Now, it used to be, like back in the old days, which would be 10 years ago, we would, there would be subcommittees under the appropriations committees, and the public would come to those subcommittees. And that change happened such that now the Appropriations Committee barely meets. I mean, it meets like, you know, in the dead of night to pass something that has already been decided on. We are not in the room for those decisions. Our bills are not even heard. Now, look, they've got 36 Republicans and 24 Democrats, so they don't have to do these things. But, you know, okay, so this may seem a little bit like aggrandizing, but I lived in Bosnia from 1995 to 98. I produced radio shows there, and what I learned in that part of my life was when you keep holding down a class of people and you continue to do it year after year, you are pushing yourself and your society toward violence. So in a civil society, when there is a social contract, you tolerate different opinions, and you tolerate them in the legislative process. So you know what? You're going to have some open hearings so that people can come down and complain to you. And that's just the way it is.
Right.
Suck it up. It's
right.
The price of having a democracy.
Right.
When there was that big kerfluffle over the PPE down in Maricopa County, the legislature hosted very quick elections committee hearings that day. I sit on elections committee. And a lot of people were there.
We're talking about the presidential preference election.
Yeah,
careful of acronyms.
Sorry about that. The presidential preference election. So the room was full. In fact, we had to open up the dividers and triple the size of the room so people could come talk. And they wanted to talk. And that got us from 9 in the morning until noon when Speaker Gowan said, cut off the meeting, we're going to the floor. And I told the people in the room were already on their way there, but I said, go upstairs to the gallery and watch. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately, some of those people up there started yelling, and it created an issue, and I wish they would not have done that.
Right.
However, that hearing should have been a relief valve, like on a plumbing system, where you let the steam out. And the arrogance of Speaker Gowan and the leadership down at the Capitol was, no, we're going to shut it off. They could have gone for another 4 hours.
Sure.
We're going to shut it off. So what do you think they're going to do?
Right.
They're going to go upstairs, and they're going to if they wouldn't have gone upstairs, they would have gone outside, or they would have caused some other problem somewhere.
Right.
When you shut down, it's just the nature of conflict. When you shut down people's ability to be heard, they will find a way to be heard. Why do you want to do that? It's not good for our democracy.
Well said.
Well said. Then thank you. But one of the important things that you said is that there's 3624 right now, which is certainly within striking distance of removing a Republican majority in both houses in the Arizona legislature, which would be, you know, the conservative utopia that they've been trying to create has not come to pass and is not likely through the destruction, at least in most people's opinion, well, the destruction of public education and of government, privatizing everything from prisons to schools to social services, which is creating, what I consider anyway, the terrible conditions under which a lot of Arizonans have to live. But Ken Clark, we do want to talk more about your organization specifically and your petitions. You have some things, right, you want to get on the ballot.
Absolutely. So the legislature passed this Senate Bill 1516, which I call the Dark Money Act.
Yeah.
And I only mentioned one of the things it does. The other thing that it does is allows wealthy donors to hide money through the political parties, mm-hmm, and funnel it directly to candidates, which they cannot do now.
Right.
And it loosens up the definitions of earmarking so that I could go to a party or some other effort and say, wink, wink, nod, nod, here's $100,000, make sure this candidate gets it. Which, right, now, this is the thing, by the way, that got Tom Horn in trouble. So now that will be gone. So if for any Arizonan, this is a huge problem, and they are undermining our very opportunity to challenge laws at the ballot.
As screwed up as it was, I believe a lot of voters believe it always was that way, and it wasn't. It always was that people wanted to give money to specific candidates. They could. Well, they couldn't. If a party wanted to funnel money to a specific candidate, they could.
It's illegal. Yeah.
But now, it was as bad as it is with those limitations in place, removing those limitations,
it's going to be even worse. And I have spoken with members on the floor who will tell me, I have to vote for this, otherwise the governor or his people are going to use dark money against me. They have told me this. I mean, this isn't like,
yeah,
I have also heard the hearsay side of it too, but
sure,
this is not unheard of. This is a terrible situation for our democracy, and if it were a Democratic governor doing this, I would be just as opposed.
So tell us about the petitions and the signatures and all that.
So luckily in Arizona, we have the right to repeal laws that we don't like, which come out of the legislature. And we have 90 days after the end of session, which amounts to August 5th, to collect roughly 75,000 valid signatures. It's 75,321, I think. which means we really need to collect about 100,000 to have a cushion.
Sure.
Due to these strict compliance rules, you have to be incredibly careful with these petitions. We have one sitting in front of us here. Mm-hmm. You have to attach the entire law. It's a 55-page bill, and it's double-sided, so about 30 pages attached to a petition, which must have exact margins. It must be filled out completely by the person who's signing it. You cannot detach the petition from the bill. A lot of these things were put in place to make it harder for the public to exercise its constitutional right.
Your photocopying bill must be horrendous for this.
We just printed 1,000 of these in petitions, and it cost us $1,300.
Yes,
so there'll be a lot of dead trees at the end of this.
Well, like I say, we're looking at you. So if somebody comes at you with a petition that looks about an inch thick, don't be afraid of it. It could be a good thing. It certainly is trying to stop some of the rampant corruption that's coming out of this legislative session. Arizona Advocacy Network, I know, has been wonderful at posting at its various sources, at least via the web, and keeping people up to date as much as they can on the legislation that is proposed and passed, and the Governor Ducey seems to be signing without any question, that is changing the face of Arizona freedoms, for that matter, and Arizona politics. Yeah.
Arizona was founded by a very progressive group of people.
Yes, it was.
In fact, we had to wait longer to become a state because we fought to get the right to run initiatives, to recall corrupt officials, and to refer laws that we didn't feel were right to the ballot. Those are very important freedoms that we fought for, and not all citizens of the United States have.
Right. These are freedoms that extend to the population, extend to the people, not just to the lawmakers, your representatives, which don't seem to be representing much right now, except money interests.
And these rights give the citizens true power, which is why people are spending a lot of money to take those rights away.
That's right.
By gutting clean elections, by passing a dark money bill that removes, campaign finance violations aren't criminal anymore.
That's it.
It makes everything up for sale. And if you remove the right and you maneuver using technical interpretations of the law to invalidate people's rights to refer, to invalidate people's rights to do initiatives. Ken will be able to talk about ways that they tried in the last few minutes of the session to make it so much more difficult to repeal the dark money bill SB 1516. Dark money groups have also spent a lot of money to try and invalidate our efforts.
Right.
They have spent a lot of money to try and take in-state petition gathering firms, and they've given them dummy petitions for initiatives they don't really care about, but to monopolize the number of people available to get signatures for good progressive petitions.
So the two issues we're talking about this morning on Democratic Perspective, clean elections and where that's going and its progress, and we're talking about SB 1516 and dark money. These things are, we're trying these, we got Julie Myers here from the Arizona Advocacy Network. We got Ken Clark from the State Legislative House of the State Legislature, talking about these two issues, clean elections, dark money, are tied together, trying to save what's left of a clear and fair process, election process in Arizona.
Unless you think that the dark money just comes from a few billionaires like the Koch brothers or Sheldon Adelman, It also comes from large corporations that are trying to influence laws to their own benefit. APS is one of those that impacted greatly the election of the Arizona Corporation Commission.
We had Tom Chabot and Bill Mundell on the show recently as Corporation Commission candidates, Democrats for Corporation Commission, talking about how they're using your money that you send in. And this seems wrong. It's one thing, I don't know, but you pay your electric bill, and then that money goes to be used for political influence, not for...
Against
the,
you.
Exactly, the benefit of its ratepayers. But for the benefit of its bottom line, or to eliminate competition, in this case, solar energy. So, getting back to dark money. Well, you know, I don't want to play a devil's advocate here to say that dark money is free speech, because it's not.
No. And further to a point earlier made, dark money is not just from the right. It is from the left. It can be from unions. And as I said before, I support unions, but you know, this is a process thing. Let's just say the governor puts this in place.
Yeah.
And he thinks he's got everything sewn up for himself. Then something happens. Maybe he's caught in a scandal or whatever, and suddenly a Democrat becomes governor.
Yeah.
Then they can use those rules.
Gets caught in bed with a dead girl or a live boy.
Yeah, right. Or, but then a Democrat could start using that. I guess it was very short-sighted to do this, this thing that they're doing. So, devil's advocate, what was that question?
Well, the dark money is free speech.
Oh, right, right. So one of the things they love to say is you must allow dark money to protect those poor voices out there who could be harassed by speaking their voice. And they point to a couple Supreme Court cases that are only tangentially related to this. And they like to paint a picture of that poor little person working in their office who wants to affect the political process, but they could be harassed by somebody somewhere.
That right. Poor little multimillionaire CEO working in the office.
The reality of this is big unions and big corporations.
But I'm
going to
tell you right now, because I've said it on this show before, you can take all your unions and all your George Soroses and put them together, and they wouldn't match one half of a Koch brother. They wouldn't be one-tenth of a Sheldon Adelman. So, no, there is nothing on the left that matches the amount on the right. You can, for sake of argument, no problem. He's going for the button. I'm teasing. For the sake of argument, yes, there are organizations on the left like unions, like George Soros. Poor George Soros. He's got a couple $1 billion, and he gets blamed for all this left-wing activity. But, you know, compared to the tens of billions of dollars that are, and the hundreds of billions that are on the right. So no, not the same.
Soros is more of an issues guy, but in any event, we need to shine a light on where the money comes from. The problem with dark money is the fact that it's anonymous donors, and it's hidden from one entity to another to another. It's money laundering for politics.
We've only got a few minutes left, so we want to make sure, first, that we thank our friends, Democrats of the Red Rocks, for all their support. Every once in a while, we throw out the name Ledbetter Law Firm, but I'm not sure they necessarily want to be associated with our show, but they do help us a lot. And we want to you guys to give your websites and tell people what they can do. Julie, go first.
The website for the Clean and Accountable Elections Act is cleanandaccountable.com, and you can sign up to get volunteer petitions, and you can follow what's going on around the state, not just with clean elections, but every nefarious trick that the right tries at azadvocacy.org.
And you can go by the door office once we figure out where it is. Ken?
Right, and stopcorruptionnowaz.com. This has got to be a people-powered movement. We need actual real-life people, not just paid petition gatherers, because the other side will do everything they can to undermine the petition process.
And that's the key here, is that it is the petition process that makes all of this work. And the other side has been, and this is a key component of democracy in Arizona, and they are subverting that part of it even then. You know, if we had more time, and I don't, part of you criticized yourself during your speech at the old Sedona Bar and Grill this morning for being the sort of deliverer of dark information. But with the same thing is certainly happening on this particular show. However, there's so much that is going on right now in the state of Arizona.
The door office address, by the way, looked it up, is 2855 West State Route 89A in West Sedona.
All right, and it's open now, and you can go by for information on from Julie Myers, Arizona Advocacy Network, Ken Clark, Stop Corruption Now Arizona. It's all about dark money. It's all about buying elections. You can go by the office and have a sort of face-to-face conversation. There's some informed people there. We want to remind you that you can find this podcast and all our shows on vvid.org. We have our shows available there. It takes a few days to get it posted. But you can go to VVID, Verde Valley Independent Democrats.org, and find our podcast there. We want to thank you for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.